On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came on your smile.
Tuesday.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. It's me. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. How are you? Good to see you. Yay. All right, that's enough. I'm placating you is what I'm doing. Look it up if you don't know what that means. Welcome to the show. I think I have a good show for you today. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens at the end. It's a matter of opinion, a matter of perception. I think it's good. You may not. I don't know. Anyway, today, President Joe Biden, and he really is the president, President Joe Biden announced that he is running for a second term. And that's interesting. I don't know. I'm glad he is, and I hope he wins, because the alternative is not even entertainable. But here's the problem. In this country, we don't honor our elderly enough. We make jokes about it. We make fun about it. And then you become elderly yourself and you say, oh, that was not a good idea to make fun of myself. That's what you're doing. Some people become elderly with great ease and great knowledge and great wisdom, such as other cultures where they respect their elderly. When they have a problem or a concern or a confusion, they turn to the eldest person in the family, the statesperson, so to speak, and they say, oh, great one, with your great wisdom and knowledge and experience throughout this lifetime, how shall I handle this particular situation? And they will impart some wisdom upon you. Maybe parts of that wisdom are usable. Maybe all of it, maybe none of it. I don't know. But there is wisdom that's being imparted upon you. That's proper. It makes sense. If you've been through an entire lifetime of stuff and you've quote unquote seen it all, your opinion matters. You don't follow it word by word necessarily, but you take in what you can from it. This culture, we don't respect our elderly. We really don't. Yeah, we give them Social Security. Thank you very much. And 10% off a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Thank you very much. That's how we respect the elderly in this country. I have always respected the elderly. I had grandparents. I was fortunate enough to have two sets of grandparents, two sets in one. And sometimes they were crazy, but sometimes they were like incredibly knowledgeable. And I did turn to them every once in a while. And I didn't say, oh, wise one, but I meant it. So Ron, why are you talking about age? What's your problem? Because President Biden is turning 80. He's an octogenarian, which means he's a dentist. Again, look it up. Google yourself. Trump, Remember this guy? Oh, God. Trump is only 2 or 3 years behind him. And believe me, it doesn't make much of a difference. I mean, if you're dating in grammar school, that makes a difference. But when you get as an adult, a couple of years makes no difference at all. And President Joe Biden is, for his age, quite incredible, certainly mentally on top of his game. But that's where I want the president to be right now, mentally. Now, I'm not saying Joe Biden's bedridden. He's not. He's still flapping around and moving around. He's kept in shape all of his life. He's not some fat guy eating barbecue in Louisiana. Even if he was lying in bed and ran the country, I wouldn't have a problem with that, to be honest with you, as long as his brain's functioning, he's doing the right stuff. Then you look at the other probable possibility, which is at this time a mental case, that's the Trump guy. So much baggage, they wouldn't take him on an airplane unless he owned the plane. Oh, wait, he does. If I see that Trump plane fly around one more time and have the news coverage follow the flight path of the Trump plane, and then Trump says, you know, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. If they can do this to me, they can do this to you. No, they can only do it to you because you're an asshole and because you broke the law 2,000 times and you stretch the truth and you stretch the law and you stretch everything and you're mean and you're rotten and you knock people down and you insult them. I'm not like that. So no, don't make that connection from me to you. You're the odd one out, baby, not me. Anyway, getting back to Joe Biden, a lot of people are saying that age really is a concern here. No, it's not. No, it's not. Here's what Joe Biden needs to do. And Joe, if you're listening to me, may I call you Joe, first of all? I've asked your permission. May I call you Joe? Joe, here's what you need in order to clinch this campaign, which I believe you should be in. Reach out to the young people. Now, I know not all of them vote or even know what a voting machine is. I get that. They're more interested in getting high and playing TikTok games. I get that. But what you need to do, Joe, is you need to have the youth of today actually be your voice, oddly enough. You need to couple the elderly with the young. Form a relationship there, and then you've encompassed everything. Because there are a lot of young people who do believe in the sanctimony and the peace and love of a country that perhaps can unite together. And Joe, I think you can actually announce to the country that I am now going to be working with a cabinet of young people. Excuse me, Ron, what are you insinuating? Joe Biden should form a think tank of young people in order to address their needs. Because let's face it, kids, if democracy is on the line, so are these kids' future. Do you know what else is on the line for these kids' future? The condition of the planet, whether there's water to drink, or the droughts have made life quite difficult for the young at a point. Or maybe the storms get more intense. The environment is very important to young people because they're the ones that are going to have to live through this. And the results of us not dealing with the environment or quibbling and quabbling about it, this stuff doesn't change like in 100 years. This stuff changes in a couple of decades when these kids are still adults, middle-aged adults, possibly suffering through the rest of their lives. These things are consequential to the young. The policies, their families, these are consequential to the young. So, Joe, what you must do is put together a team of young cabinet people. And when you make policy decisions or discuss policy, you have always checked with your youth cabinet to see what their opinion was and to take it into account, because they shall inherit the earth, not you. That's where the future belongs, and that's what is basically being voted on here. Get the youth involved big time. You'll win, and you'll be effective, and that's what we want. I don't want to get political here, but there's no time not to. And if you're not up on politics or what's happening, so often I have people in the street coming up to me saying, can I borrow a dollar for a cup of coffee? And my response is, it's more than a dollar for a cup of coffee. Here's $2 because I love people. Actually, I don't do that. I'm just making a joke. People do come up to me and they say, Ron, what's going on in the world? And I say, excuse me? Because these people know that, like, I do this and I have to be up on everything, and that's not a good thing for me anxiety-wise. But I do know what's going on in the news. And people who know that I do this will say to me, Ron, what's going on? And I say, don't say that to me. Don't ever come up to me and say, hey, Ron, what's going on in the world? Are you in a jail cell somewhere? Do you not have the ability to find this out yourself? Don't come to me and say, hey, Ron, what's going on in the world? What? Well, Ron, I don't have time to follow the news. Oh, you don't, do you? Well, that's responsible. And I don't answer them. I say, oh, nothing. Check your Google machine if that's what you do. Oh, nothing's going on. Oh, nothing at all. No, it's just spring and flowers are blooming and birds are singing and flying around, and that's about it. No, it's not about it. Anyway, that's my advice to Mr. Joe Biden. Start a youth council that you refer to and involve in your decisions. They will cling to you like a loving bird, like peanut butter and jelly, because the future of this country is the future of that entire generation. And believe me, they care. They may not say it, but they do. All right, let's move on, shall you? We do that together. Shall we move on? Let's do that. I have a couple of guests on today's show. I'm going to be honest with you. They are of some commercial nature. One of the guests is going to talk about a product, and the other will talk about a product as well. I know. One of them is going to talk about alcohol, not rubbing either, the drinking type, Bombay gin. Ever heard of that? There's some good cocktail recipes. I don't promote you drinking unless you're listening to the program, then it only enhances it. Other than that, I don't promote it. I'm not a promoter. But yet every once in a while, a nice cocktail, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with a nice cocktail every once in a while. So the Bombay people are here to suggest some stuff and to make you buy their alcohol. And then we have Ally Bank join us. Ally Bank. I got to tell you, and I'll tell them in the interview, when I go online and I try to find a bank with the highest savings interest rates, Ally Bank has always got like the highest rates. I mean, it's like, whoa, how do you do that? That's good. So I figure it's worth it to talk to them. And those are my two guests today. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, do I believe in them 100%? No. Just putting it out there, that's all. I mean, that's what commercials do. But I figure, the hell. Gin, yeah, I'll talk about that. Saving money with high yield interest savings accounts, yeah, I'll talk about that. Okay, There you go. There you have it. All right, we're going to do that and get that started momentarily. But first, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll be back with my two guests. This could be kind of fun. You never know. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy, if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Dr. Ann Brock joins us now. She's Bombay Sapphire's master distiller. Oh, that's a nice job. That's nice.
It is awesome. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I do a lot of interviews, have a lot of conversations. I love talking about this, though. This is this is nice. It's funny because the seasons, we actually change up our cocktails, and I think that's wonderful because it makes life a bit more appealing. Tell me, first of all, what you do as a master distiller before we get into this.
Well, it's a very grand-sounding title, but essentially it means that I lead the distilling team in our distillery, which is in Hampshire in the south of England, just outside London. Mm-hmm. So I lead the team here, and we make Bombay Sapphire for the entire world.
Wow. That sounds like some good meetings. I like that. Now, for those that aren't familiar with Bombay Sapphire, tell me about that.
The Bombay Sapphire Gin is a classic London dry gin. We're really proud of the ingredients we use in Bombay Sapphire. Our 10 botanicals are sustainably sourced and hand-selected by our Master of Botanicals, who work directly with growers and harvesters across the world to supply the very best for our gin. And all those botanicals come into me here and my team at the distillery, and we distill them using our vapor infusion process. So vapor infusion is a slightly different way of distilling gin. Instead of boiling the botanicals up in alcohol, we steam them, which allows us to capture the brightest and very best flavors of all those botanicals.
That's nice. All right. Okay, now the spring usually means fruits and citrus and flowers and that kind of thing. And I guess some of your cocktail recipes go in that direction.
Oh, absolutely. At the moment, we're seeing classic cocktails having a real resurgence. So with spring in the air and people wanting something a bit more vibrant, I suggest a martini or a French 75, which are also two of my favorite cocktails. They work really well with a gin like Bombay Sapphire or Bombay Sapphire Premier Cru that's bright and citrusy, giving you that sense of spring in a glass.
Wow. Okay. The infusion process, do you infuse flavors into the gin or as well as the actual infusion?
So all the botanicals undergo a distillation process. So all the flavors are captured in the vapor infusion process during distillation, and we don't add any flavors to Bombay Sapphire post-distillation.
Okay, very good. All right. Give me a cocktail recipe that I can do. It's early in the morning here when I'm doing this discussion with you, but I that won't stop me.
Well, lucky for me, it's the afternoon here, I can definitely advise.
Okay.
I think my go-to at the moment is the French 75. It's made with gin, lemon juice, and sugar syrup, shaken up with ice, strained into a champagne flute, and topped up with sparkling wine or champagne. It's super easy to make, it's delicious, and it turns every moment into a celebration.
Wow. Okay. You know, it's funny how you mentioned the martini before and the champagne flute. It's amazing how the containers themselves lend to the actual feel of the cocktail. I found that that's like almost half the battle. That's the fun part. Yeah.
Absolutely. Choosing your glassware appropriately, making sure it's chilled, getting the right size. These are all small touches that turn a good drink into a great drink.
How did Bombay Sapphire turn into such a classy version of gin?
I think it's because it has a really bright and balanced flavor profile, mm-hmm. which means that it's beautifully easy to mix with, and actually it lends itself to most gin cocktails that are out there. Mm-hmm. And we think we get that bright balance from our vapor infusion process, and we're really proud of it.
Wow. Do you have another cocktail recipe up your sleeve there, assuming you're wearing sleeves?
I'm not wearing sleeves. Well, you can make a slightly less celebratory version of the French 75, a Tom Collins. So instead of topping up with sparkling wine, you top up with soda water. That works really well on a hot summer's afternoon. A classic gin and tonic is always a good go-to. Yeah. Or then there's the martini. And people have very particular ways they like their martini. I currently drink mine about a 5-to-1 mix, stirred down with Noilly Pravamu.
Wow. Oh, my God. Okay. That's great. I can't wait to do all these things here. I'm sure there's a website, because there is for everything these days, but I'm sure a lot of people are going to go to yours and look at some of these recipes.
Absolutely. I mean, we're really excited at the moment. We've just launched Bombay Sapphire Premier Cru in a few key markets across the United States, and we'll be rolling it out nationwide later in the year. So if anyone's excited about seeing our new expression, which is really heroing our citrus peels that come from a region called Murcia in Spain, mm-hmm. then please check out our website. It's bombaysapphire.com, and all the information should be there for you.
Wow. I'm picturing you sitting in a boardroom with your team, and you're sitting there and you're coming up with different ideas for cocktails. Is that difficult to do, or is it like, hey, I've got one, hey, I've got one, hey, I've got one?
My job is really to work with our master botanicals to create the gin to make the cocktails. We love to inspire bartenders with creativity. So we like them to pick up our gins and get creative and make brilliant cocktails. So I look for inspiration to make new gins, like Bombay Sapphire Premier Cru. Yeah. And the inspiration for that was really the relationship our master of botanicals have with the growers and harvesters of our citrus peel. Wow. It's all hand-harvested, hand-peeled, and dried in the Spanish sun in Spain. So it's a really elegant gin that tells the story of our relationship with our harvesters.
Oh, so it's actually a celebration.
Absolutely, a celebration of that.
Perfect. Okay, one more time, that website, please.
BombaySapphire.com.
Excellent. She's Dr. Anne Brock, and if she tells you this, then it is true. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. Sonia Frere joins us now. She's Senior Director of Product Management at Allied Bank. Thanks for being with us. We're talking about National Bucket List Day, but this doesn't have to do with jumping off of a bridge on a bungee cord necessarily. Am I right?
That's right. Although skydiving is on some people's bucket list.
It can be, yes. I don't know why, but it is. But we're talking about a financial bucket list, I suppose.
Yeah. So at Allied, you know, we put the customer at the center of everything that we do. And we wanted to get a pulse check on how people are thinking and, more importantly, dreaming in this time of high inflation and rates. And so we asked, do you have a bucket list? The answer is absolutely and definitively yes. 84% of Americans have a bucket list, and it's everything from taking trips either abroad or across the United States. Mm-hmm. It might be saving up to learn a new skill, or it could be saving for a dream home or that new car. Unfortunately, a third of people have not been able to check anything off their bucket list in the last year, and 75% see that money and finances are the reason why.
Yeah, well, they weren't checking bucket lists off since 2000, apparently. And I guess we're still in the ball game because financially, I mean, you know, it's interesting because I hear reports that people are still spending like crazy, even though the inflation rates are up and money isn't as available. But is that slowing down?
So what I will say is that there are hurdles on both sides of the equation, saving and spending. When we think about saving, we know that unfortunately many people can't afford even an emergency expense of $1,000. And for those people, they're probably not making progress against those bigger ticket items either. We launched at Ally a couple years ago a bucket system that lets you create those goals, track your progress against them. And on the budgeting side, we're happy to announce we now have a digital envelope or bucketing system on our checking account. And that will help people figure out, here's how much I can afford to spend, even if they already know, like, here's how much in general I'm spending. So essentially, you know, create a digital envelope. That will help you figure out, here's how much I need on the core expenses, the things I need to buy. Then you can figure out, here's how much I have left over for the more fun stuff.
Yeah, it's, you know, as human beings, we need a goal. And just a goal to pay all your bills is sometimes not enough because that's juggling all the time. But if you have a goal to travel somewhere, like to go to Italy or Paris or something like that, it's amazing how much we start saving, isn't it?
It's funny, and it's so true. And when I talk about the two things that help people succeed, you're looking, the first is visualize or define that goal. It's exactly what you just said. So personalize it, write it down, make a bucket for it, say it out loud. That in and of itself can be a really powerful motivator. And the second tool or the second tip I tell people is to automate it. So as much as you can set it and forget it, or pay yourself first, when you get paid, set some money aside. Even if it's not a lot, that grows over time. And so we know that those two things work really well together. Customers that use our buckets and boosters on our savings account save over two times more than people who don't use them.
I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm just talking about Ally Bank, and you know, not because I was asked, but whenever I check interest rates around about how to save money, savings accounts, all those things, Ally Bank's always got like the best deals going. I don't know how you pull that off.
Well, we are the nation's largest digital-only bank, and we have no brick-and-mortar branches, and that means that we can pass those highly competitive rates and innovative tools like the buckets and boosters I just mentioned back to our customers.
Yeah, I mean, could, there really is an opportunity to save now on different types of money accounts where that didn't exist a year ago. So now I see some light at the end of the tunnel about actually, you know, putting your money somewhere and letting it grow.
Absolutely. So when you're looking for a tool either on the saving side or on the spending side, I generally tell people to look for something that's going to be easy to use, that is going to motivate them, and something that they can easily visualize their progress so they can see, here's how I'm tracking, here's how much farther I can go. You know, those things are just so important.
It really is. I mean, now we have to save to get a car. It used to be just, okay, I've got to get another car. Now it's like, oh, I don't know if I can afford to get another car. I mean, simple things like that, you need a goal to get there.
That's right. And, you know, with our savings buckets and our spending buckets, you know, they're also sitting right within your savings and your checking account. So you don't need another app when you're checking in to see, you know, here's how my savings are growing. You can, you know, add another bucket or see what your progress looks like, too.
Okay. So it's time to dream again, I suppose. And that's a good thing. We all need to look forward to something, don't we?
We absolutely.
Okay. So here we are. How do people get in touch with starting this endeavor?
So We have, you can go to ally.com/bucket list. That's ally.com/bucket list. It has information on our tools, but also some more stuff we learned when we talked to people about their bucket list, mm-hmm. more of like, here are the destinations people wanted to go to, and here's what people are saving for.
Okay, so that's all there, all in one place, and might help you choose something that if you're not bucket pro, and this might say, hey, this is something I want to do. Look, these people are doing it. That looks like fun. So there you go.
Maybe you can get inspired.
yeah, we all need to get inspired. Sonia, you've been a wealth of information. I appreciate your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I hope you had a good time. I'll be back again tomorrow. Can you spell that? Tomorrow. Spell that out. At which time we'll gather together and burn our bras. How about that, huh? Can you imagine that they did that at a time in our history? For women's rights or whatever they were doing there, for better bras, I don't know. Women were burning their bras. And I wanted to get involved too, so I started burning my underpants. And then someone said to me, Ron, take them off first. Oh, okay. Ooh, good idea. Yeah, I used to go to bra burning parties. Not bad. It smelled a little bit, but still, I mean, a good idea. Because when you take your bra off, you're left with basically nothing there to deal with to cover those babies up. So, that's where you whip out a bottle of Bombay gin and have yourself a bra-burning party. Yes, they used to do that. Check that on. The Google machine is full of information, most of it false, but there was a time when women burned their bras, and it wasn't just arbitrarily. I think you had to gather together to do that. I don't think you just say, hey, I feel like burning my bra. You got a lighter? I don't think it worked like that. But I was alive during that time period, and I thought the concept was good, but the smell, the obnoxious smell of that that strange bra material burning, foam rubber, not a good thing. And you got to have a fire extinguisher handy all the time. Sounds like fun. Sounds like fun to begin with, but then you got to realize all the prep involved, and it's not that easy. But anyway, I'll be back tomorrow, and I asked you to spell that already. Until then, I wish you a tremendous amount of peace, because we're all going to need it. I mean it.